Life is an adventure. What's your story? Radio St. Pete Insider catches up with another Sunshine City star, making Tampa Bay the best place to live, work, and play. Welcome, Margo Hammond.
A star. I don't know if anyone's ever called a journalist a star.
Well, you are probably one of the most well-read people I've ever met. Tell us a little bit about how you came to be a culture and arts writer and your time at the Tampa Bay Times as the book editor.
Well, I came to St. Pete in 1990 to be the book editor of then the St. Petersburg Times and was there for 16 years. I can hardly believe that. And finally moved on, and I went to the Dalí, and the Dalí asked me to do a prototype of an avant-garde magazine for them, and I did that. It never appeared. It never came to fruition, but it was certainly fun to put it together. And I loved the Dalí. It was really fun to work there. And I think they liked me, and so we've had a relationship ever since. So my natural love of books started to intersect with my natural love of art. And I started to do classes at the Dalí, and then those classes spilled into classes at ALI, the Osher Lifelong Living Institute, and yada, 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 here I am. And then I started writing. Sheila Cowley approached me. She was the editor of Arts Coast magazine at Creative Pinellas, and she said, "Would you like to write a column for us, or be a regular contributor. And I said, "Sure." And she said, "We'd love to have you, you know, cover the literary arts." And I said, "Well, it'll probably be an intersection of the arts and books." She said, "Perfect." And then I said, "But how often would you like me to write?" And she said, "Well, how about once a month?" And I thought, "Oh my God, that's a journalist dream." I mean, a journalist who was, I've been used to having deadlines with 3 stories a day or at least, you know, once a week. So once a month was just glorious.
You just did The Art Lover by Marie Hammer and Sirius the Dog Star by Rusty Hammer. Tell us about the Hammers briefly.
That was also Sheila's idea. She had gone to, I had done a story on books as art. There was an exhibit at the Museum of, not the Museum of Fine Arts, the Morian Arts Museum, Arts Gallery, and just loved it, and I took lots of pictures. And one of the pictures I took was of this rhinoceros hanging, and Sheila went and bought it for her husband. And it was done by Marie Hammer. And for some reason or another, something got broke off of it. So she called Marie, and she said, "You know, I want to repair this, but I want the artist to repair it." So Marie invited her to her house, where she lives with her husband, Rusty Hammer, which is actually his name, Rusty Hammer.
In Gulfport, right?
No, used to live in Gulfport, okay. But then they moved into this very nondescript house in a St. Pete suburb. And so Sheila went there and was just gobsmacked by this house. It was like walking into, you know, a wonderland. And so she called me up and said, "Would you like to do a story on them?" And I said, "Sure." So when she went to pick up her piece of art, I went over there and just fell in love with this couple. They're just adorable. They both do art, and they have filled their house with every corner, everywhere you look, there's something creative, including their refrigerator, which has portraits of them by artists from Creative Clay. And they really nailed their personalities. Maria is sort of demure and shy, and Rusty is very out there and bouncy, and their portraits just... the Creative Clay artists. I'm sorry, I don't remember their names, but they were great. But everywhere else in the house, there were dog sculptures, assemblage figures that Rusty makes, wall hangings of Maria, and some artwork from their friends, but mostly from them.
Fabulous. So you have had an interesting iteration. You've written a couple books. Tell us about those, and then tell us about your mystery writing.
Well, my books have been collaborative. The first book was with a book editor, a fellow book editor, Ellen Heltzel. We did The Book Babe's Guide to Women's Reading Pleasures. It was published by DeCapo quite a few years back, I think 2008. What we did was we split this up and made recommendations to women according to, you know, 10 books to read if you're a mother, 10 books to read if you're depressed, that kind of thing. So it was really fun to put together, and it was really fun to work with Ellen. She lives on the West Coast, so it was interesting because I'm not a morning person, so it was nice because we had our timetables meshed. And then the other book that I did was just, I didn't really do a book. I contributed to a book, and it's called Paradise is Deadly, I was interested in doing a mystery. I set this mystery at the Dolly Museum after I worked there. And at first I was going to kill off people I didn't like during my time there. And then it kind of, you know, metamorphosed into something else. But, you know, the first impulse was sort of a revenge book, which I think a lot of mystery writers, that's all they start out. But anyway, I did a first draft, and I thought, you know, I really need to learn more about mystery writing. I reviewed mystery books, all my, you know, reviewing career. But I thought, wow, this is not as easy as I thought. And it's, my hat's off to people who do it. So I joined Sisters in Crime. And the local chapter, which is, I think, called Arts Coast chapter. Anyway, it starts north of St. Petersburg, goes all the way down to Naples. They were just putting together an anthology, and so they were asking if we would contribute. And so I thought, well, maybe I should just try to write a short story. So I sat down, and I wrote what they call a list short story. It was sort of a list of do's and don'ts, and it was called How to Get Away with Murder in Florida. And the do's were all taken from Florida mystery books, so people who had already published mystery books. And the don'ts were real murder cases in Florida, and people who got caught because they were too stupid to realize that the cops could trace their DNA.
Any example?
Oh, there were just so many. My favorite was the woman who she poisoned her husband, and then she poisoned her son, and he didn't die, so she pushed him out of a boat in the river, and this was up north somewhere in Florida. And the cops caught her because she said that her husband had gone out fishing. I guess that was the first one, that she pushed her husband in the water. That he had gone out fishing and, you know, was lost in the waters, but and was eaten by crocodiles. But the cops knew that crocodiles don't eat in the winter. So that's how she got caught. And they traced her to a lover who was in on it. So that was really my favorite one. But they were all really crazy.
So we were at, Margo and I were at Doc Ford's, and Randy Wainwright was there, the famous book author. And Margo, tell the story. He's in the book.
He's in the book because he was his character, Doc Ford, was one of the, do's. I put the do list. Do live in Sanibel, you know, become a marine biologist. It was really based on the character of Doc Ford. So he met us. It was so funny because he met us, and when we told him what we did, he said to Nanette and me, he said, "Wow, real journalists," as if they didn't exist anymore, like we were a species that had gone extinct.
Well, you'll stay tuned because Margo will be doing an interview for Radio St. Pete with him. But let's talk a little bit about your mother, who was such an inspiration and a reader. And she had your creative late bloomers is sort of your passion right now. Talk a little bit about creative late bloomers and how your mother inspired that.
Well, when I left the Times, you know, no one likes to retire, they especially a writer, so you kind of wonder what you're going to do. And one of the things I decided to do was a blog, which was popular back then. I don't know how popular they are now, but I still do it. And I called it Creative Late Bloomers. And back then, I didn't really think of myself as very old. And so now I'm really in the demographics of the creative great late bloomers. But my mother, after my father died, she came down here and would accompany me on various things that I did, covering things for the St. Pete Times. And one of them was this conference, a writer's conference. And she said, during a break, she said, "You know, I always wanted to be a writer. I'm so glad you became a writer, because that's what I always wanted to do." And I said, "Well, you know, you can still be a writer." I said, "It's not like you wanted to be a ballet dancer." You know, there's certain things that are, you know, kind of out of the ballpark when you get older. And I said, "Why don't you write? Why don't you write your memoirs?" So she said, "Oh, I don't know." Anyway, she went home and she started writing her memoirs. And then she got something, for some reason or other, we went antiquing together. She always liked to do that. We went to a yard sale and she bought this frame to fit a very sexy picture of my father that she never put out when we were kids, but now she was really wanting to put it out. And he had kind of a 5 o'clock beard, and, you know, he was in the Navy, so his his hat was kind of cocked to the side, and it was really a sexy picture. So she wanted a really special frame for this, and she wanted it to be an Art Deco frame because that was the period. And she found it at this, you know, yard sale. And so she asked the guy how much, and he told her, and then she started to bargain. And he said, well, okay, you know, and he started to bargain. And then she burst into tears. And he came in to me and he said, well, what did I do? You know, I thought I lowered the price for her. I said, I explained her, you know, it was her dead husband. And he said, oh my God. He said, she can have the frame for free to, you know, to please someone, you know, that would be make my day. So my mother wrote that up as a story for the St. Pete Times. They had some rubric there for, you know, my view or something like that. I told her, I said, you should write this up. This is a great story. So she wrote it, almost letter perfect, sent it in. And the editor of that rubric called me and said, oh, my God, I love your mother's writing. Do you think we're starting up this section called seniority? Do you think maybe your mother would write a column? And I said, well, you're going to have to ask her. So she calls her up, and my mother comes back and says, oh, you know, she wants me to write a column a month. There it is again, a month. You know, I said, okay, you know, for me, a month, that would be pretty easy. I said, why don't you do this? I'll go to work. You try to write the first column. See how long it takes you. And then you can decide whether you can take on this job. So I came home that night, and she had written two columns. And they were letter perfect. I mean, I did a little editing, but not much. And I said, Mom, I think you should accept this. You're on the way. So she did, and she did it. She was 86 years old. And she did it, and she did it until she died. She died when she was 92. And she did a piece a month. Homage to Mom. So that's why I started Creative Late Bloomers, kind of in homage to her. And to encourage other people to say it's never too late to be what you always wanted to be.
So. You also at one point had some prompts to help people talk about their memoirs. One of them was jewelry. Tell your story about your jewelry.
Well, that was an enterprise that I got together with J.N. Terry, another journalist. And we at the Florida Arts Crafts place. It was then run by Maria Arana, who was not Arana, Maria oh, I've forgotten her last name. She's a Cuban, fantastic artist. And we that's what we did. We had them prompt with jewelry. We showed them jewelry, and then they wrote little things about the jewelry in the shop. And Jay and I started to get this idea that why don't we do that with other people's jewelry, I mean their own real jewelry. And so we started Bijou Bayous. And it was this idea that you would encourage people to tell stories through their jewelry. And Jay did all the interviewing for that, and I just did the editing. And we've kind of put it on a hiatus. Jay had to took on a full-time job that she couldn't do it. But we still have that in the back of our heads to take that up again. It was a great idea, and it was we got some really amazing stories of people's jewelry.
I see Margo is wearing her book earrings. She is always wearing either some local art or some book earrings. Margo, what's on your bookshelf right now?
Oh, well, actually, I'm reading a very interesting memoir. It's by a woman named Maria Lanahan, and it's called Building a Life Worth Living. And she actually is a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist. I'm not exactly sure what she calls herself. She's a researcher. She researches this. And she created this very interesting therapy called DBT for suicide victims or for people who are suicidal. And she never had told her story that she herself, when she was 19 years old, had tried to commit suicide and was committed to a facility. And so finally she did because she thought that that would be a way to help other people. And it's a really fascinating memoir of her struggles through the healthcare system and her struggle and her ability to create this amazing therapy. For people who are in despair.
You always have something. Well, it's just wonderful to have Margo Hammond, Creative Late Bloomers, with us. And there's so many things that she has her fingers in, and we can't wait for the novel.
Oh. well, I know that may be a while, the mystery. But, you know.
But while we're waiting, we'll be hearing from Margo on Radio St. Pete. Stay tuned. Stay online. Thank you, Margo, for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is fun.